Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. My name is Keith Nethery. I'm the rector of the parish. Our assistant curate, Hannah, one more week of holidays. She'll be back with us next week. Our musical accompaniment today, Steve Hollowitz is our music director, and our vocalists today are Victoria Piovison, Katie Clark, and Paul Grambo. John Gardy mans the sound booth as always. We're so happy you're with us. Just take a moment as we prepare to worship. Almighty God, your Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence. Give us pure hearts and constant wills to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Ephesians. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually in a dwelling place for God. The Word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Question for you. If I gave you a novel to read and said, don't worry about the fact that chapters 6, 7, and 8 aren't there, would you want to read the book? Let me strengthen that. If a lawyer brings you a copy of a long-lost relative's will that you are named in and says, oh, there's 2 pages missing, but don't worry about it, I think you probably would, right? So are you not worried about this gospel today? For whatever reason, those who designed the lectionary decided to split this reading in half and take out the middle, is what it turns out to be. The first part comes before 2 very well-known stories. The feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on water. And then when you pick it up at when they had crossed over for a second time, that's where the second part of this gospel comes in, and you read that last part of that chunk of Mark's gospel. Now, before you think there's some great conspiracy, like a lawyer trying to take away that long-lost relative's money that was left for you, it's not quite that serious, but it's still worth noting. We are coming to the end today of a season of reading from Mark's gospel. And next week, we jump ahead to John's Gospel, and we begin with the 2 stories that the organizers of the lectionary left out from the Gospel in Mark today, the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on water. Now, you'll have to come back next weekend to find out what I think about the comparison of how Mark rendered it and how John rendered it, and whether Matthew and Luke had anything to say about it, and how those comparisons will work. But it is important to understand them in the chronology that Mark uses, which impacts what we hear in this story. Remember, Mark kind of drops in that story of the death of John the Baptist, which we had a week ago. But if you read between the lines at the start of the portion of the gospel today, in between, Jesus had sent the apostles out for the first time, probably, or one of the first times, by themselves to preach, to heal, to talk with people. And now they are coming back to debrief, as it were. So imagine the emotions that are going on in all of this. They have learned of their friend John the Baptist's death. That had to hurt. It had to touch Jesus himself, but also the disciples who had come to know John. And then Jesus sends them out by themselves. So you're full of grief, and you're going out to solo. And now you're coming back, and you're telling Jesus about what a great job you did, and all those other people get in the road. All those other people want to talk to him as much as you do. All those people want him to heal them. That's quite a contrast in there. That's the first part, chronology. So then imagine you go through making dinner for 5,000 people with nothing. And you get done that, and you get into the boat, and you go to sleep, and all of a sudden the weather goes crazy, and here comes Jesus walking across the water towards you. And now you're on the other side, and finally Jesus says, let's go and be by ourselves. And what happens? All those people, again, they want Jesus, and he has compassion for them. He describes people as being like sheep without a shepherd. Or maybe Mark just throws that term in, because that's Mark's understanding of who Jesus was. I'll leave you to figure that one out. But think of the emotion. Think of just how that would make the disciples feel. Think of how it would make Jesus feel. Think of all these people who are so desperate to get what they need from Jesus. They're jumping into boats, they're rowing across lakes and storms, they're bringing people on beds and mattresses, they're doing anything they can to find where they want to be and what they need. So let me suggest this. Maybe it's like the last 18 months or so of our lives. We were flowing along wonderfully. Well, at least we remember it as being wonderfully, because it was so much better than when this crazy virus hit. And all of a sudden, we were locked at home. Remember those first days? How we felt? Don't go out of the house. I'd go out for a walk and I would go halfway across the front lawn to stay away from people so they didn't think we were vulnerable. And then we went through lockdown to reopening to lockdown to reopening. We missed Easter, we missed Christmas, we missed Easter again. And then they opened and we closed and the numbers went up and the numbers came down. And now, is it all coming to an end? Hard to say. But we've gone through all of that. And I think maybe we're sort of at a place like the disciples were. We're kind of saying, okay, we did this. Look, we did a good job. We kept going. But we forget that we need to come back to what we always do. The disciples went out and did this great work. And when they came back to tell Jesus about it, they got more work to do. We've gone for almost 2 years without being in Christian community. Those of you who get our daily reflections, which are now twice weekly because we wrote them for so long that we ran out of things to write about, would know that Friday's reflection that I wrote, the longest one I've wrote in the entire 2 years, was all about coming back to community. Because the community that we had before the pandemic must come back to be some form of the community following pandemic. Many times people have looked at me with a smile and a wink and said, it's just so easy to do what you're doing right now. Probably a lot of you are sitting with breakfast or a cup of coffee, maybe sitting in your pajamas, on the deck, at the couch, with the dog on your lap, and relaxing. And listening to the gospel and ministry. But that's not all that faith is. There's more to that. We need to come back together again in community. When Jesus sent the disciples out for their first time, he brought them back into community, and immediately they went back to work on their mission. That's what we're called to do. To come back into community. To catch up with one another. To restart the ministries and the studies and the outreach and all those things that we've always done. And find new ways to do it. We've decided we're going to continue this audio service for the foreseeable future. Because we hear from people that it's valuable to them. People who can't get out and come to church, who were completely without community, have found community in tuning in to listen to this. As they have to every church's offering, be it on Zoom or Facebook or whatever, we chose to go the audio route, and it's worked for us. It's been our community in the interim. But community needs to have that personal impact. Community doesn't work with just a leader talking to people at a distance about things that we might do well when we can. We need to come back together. We need to be in this building. We need to be in this community. We need to be in this city. We need to be reaching out to those in need. Things that we have done for years and years and years, but the pandemic said for a time, no, you can't do that. The problem with that is, and I think we can all understand this, we've got into new rhythms. And those rhythms have become comfortable and commonplace. And so it's quite tempting for you to sit at home on Sunday morning and listen to me. And I don't have to get all dressed up, investments and things, and we can do this in and out and be home in 45 minutes. That's not what community is. Community is the interaction. Community is when I look out at these empty seats, I don't get reaction. I don't get body language from you. When we talk at coffee, we talk about what God calls us to do. We talk about the people we love who perhaps are sick or who are having a difficult time. We share that information. We talk about what we're reading. We talk about what we're doing in the community. We plan. We develop our faith. I'm not saying you can't do it at all by listening to a service. What I am saying is that there's much more to it than that. It's about relationship. Jesus was always about relationship. He didn't stop when the disciples come back after their first trip and say, I'll devote weeks to listen to your story. He said, we're in relationship. I'll hear from you on the fly, but we have other people that we need to deal with. When they were on the boat in the storm, Jesus stayed in relationship. He came to them. When they needed to feed 5,000 people, the community got together and did it. When they came back and a throng of people needed people to be healed, to be loved, to be prayed for, they did that. Now, they had the advantage of not only the divine Jesus, which we have, they had the physical human Jesus to lead them. We have his word. We have the story of the Gospels, the word of the Scriptures. We have 2,000 years of church history. We have 150 years of community in this church, in this place. We have a lot of things. The world tends to be going away from community or more exclusive community. As I said in the reflection, screens, 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 screens. How many times do you walk down the street and you can't make eye contact with anybody because they're all looking at their phone? It's okay to do that. But it doesn't necessarily help us build that type of community that can make a difference. Because when you're talking on your phone, you're talking to people that you know, that you're close to, that you already have relationship with, and you don't talk to the people that you meet on the street, who might be in need, who could be crying, who could be sad, who could be happy and want to tell you a joyful story, we just walk on through. None of this is designed to make anyone feel that they have to come back to church when they feel unsafe. We will all know when we feel that we have been vaccinated and vaccinated for long enough and we are comfortable in coming into larger groups. We'll have to see where the pandemic goes over the next few weeks or months. But it's imperative, I think, that we now think about community more than ever, because we have drifted away from it. So we need to reinfuse ourselves with community. We need to re-enthuse ourselves with community. Faith requires community to do witness, to do ministry, That's our calling. So start thinking about how you're coming back to community. And as we all plan, we'll get back into some kind of a normal rhythm in this place with these people doing new things and exciting things, all in the name of God. Amen. Let us now confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again. Judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you now to take a position that is comfortable for you in prayer. Let us pray. Knowing God's love and concern for us all, let us settle ourselves in God's presence and pray to God now. Recognizing our brokenness and disunity as your church, we pray for your leading to draw us closer to one another as we draw closer to you. We pray for all our Christian brothers and sisters in this neighborhood and for all who are searching for meaning in their lives. With the noise of global conflicts and human deprivation thundering in our ears, with the questions and doubts clamoring, we pray for your shepherding of our humanness and your leading in the secret places of the heart. With all that we know about our lives today, about changes in our society and our communities, values, pressure to conform. We need to hear God's will. In community, we need to hear from you, Lord. And we pray for your centered wisdom in all our daily life and all our life choices. With the stressed and overburdened, the overworked and the unemployed, we pray for balance in our lives, for physical, mental, and spiritual health, especially as we come out of the pandemic, for patience in times of trouble and times of confusion, as we remember with love and gratitude the lives of those who have died in faith, we commend them to your eternal rest and unchanging affection. With the crowds of Galilee, our hearts are lifted with joy at your presence among us, for we know that you have the words of eternal life. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, as Jesus has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, be with you, those that you love and those that love you, this day and forevermore. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God.